And unsurpassed penetrating and perfect dharma is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Morning. I want to talk about case one in the Book of Serenity, which is a collection of koans that are a little more, well, that are aligned with the Soto school. The booklet record is aligned with the Rinzai school, but everybody uses all of them, so. So, the world honored one ascends the seat. The introduction says, closing the door and sleeping is the way to receive those of highest potential. Looking, reflecting, and stretching is a roundabout way for the middling and lesser. How could it bear sitting on the carved wood seat sporting devil eyes? If there's any bystander who doesn't agree, come forward. You can't blame him either. The case. One day, the world-honored one ascended the seat. Manjushri struck the gavel and said, clearly observe, the Dharma of the King of Dharma is thus. The world-honored one then got down from the seat. One day, the world-honored one ascended the seat. Manjushri struck the gavel and said, clearly observe, the Dharma of the King of Dharma, the Dharma of the King of Dharma is thus. The world-honored one then gone down from the seat. The unique thread of reality, do you see? Continuously, creation runs her loom and shuttle, weaving the ancient brocade, incorporating the forms of spring. But nothing can be done about Manjushri's leaking. Nothing can be done about Manjushri's leaking. Clearly observe. Clearly observe. Rebbe Anderson talked about this a long, long time ago, because I know it was before I went to Thasahara. So it would have been in the early 90s. And he talked about, one of the things he talked about was clearly observe. Clearly observe. And he said that the characters for it could also be, for the clearly part, could also be translated as surrender. Surrender. When you surrender, when we surrender, it's a kind of laying down of all of our baggage, all of our hindrances, all of our obstructions to view. I talked about bowing recently. I might have talked about it some last week, but as I remember quoting Liam about bowing, which he said is just another thing to do wholeheartedly. But at any rate, bowing, I talked about recently with the man who was then Shusou at the Berkeley Zen Center, and I said something about that was what bowing was for me. It was a kind of surrender. It was, and it felt to me like in the process of, you know, getting my forehead down to the ground and lifting my hands, and in the process, it was a kind of a surrender. It was laying down all my weapons of self-protection. And all the extra, just saying, here. I give it to the earth. I give it away. And when he was Shuso, in the Shuso ceremony, when it came my turn to ask a question, I said, break my heart. And he said, lay your burden down. And
we talked about it
a week or so later. And he remembered what we had said, or what I had said about bowing. And I thought so. I got what he was saying to me, and he did break my heart. Clearly observe. Lay your burden down. Isn't that a lyric? To like a country song or something, or a hymn? I think so, but anyway. Lay your burden down. And then you can observe. When it's not, so everything is filtered through your prior experience, so let go of that too. Let go of trying to see absolutely crystal clear. But we add a lot of extra on there that we don't have to add. And once we do set it down, we can see better. And I do like the idea of surrender. It's another one of those words that is triggering, like faith or save all beings, saving. And it has some connotation of surrendering to something or someone, giving over your agency. But it doesn't have to mean that. It's just surrendering your idea of needing to protect yourself, of needing approval from other people, of needing to be right. And then when you do surrender, feeling lightness and clarity, and then you can see the Dharma of the King of Dharma. The Dharma of the King of Dharma is thus. And that's enough. And then he goes and has a cup of tea. And is that leaking? And leaking in the poem, leaking is, I don't know, it's sort of self-explanatory, but maybe not entirely, I don't know. Leaking is extra, it's like saying something that didn't need to be said, or not being able to contain your urge to speak or explain. I mean, they all were assembled, presumably, there on Vulture Peak. They saw the Dharma, the King of Dharma. They saw him ascend the seat. Did it need to be pointed out and explained? Were they all, what is it? Middling and lesser, that it had to be explained to them? Right? Because closing the door and sleeping is the way to receive those of the highest. So maybe he didn't even need to ascend the seat. I don't know, for them. But We're all, I don't know, I don't think we're lesser. We're not lesser, but you know, we're middling. There's nobody that's already a Buddha that I know of. So maybe we need Manjushri to point. See that? That's it. And sometimes it's really useful. One time, I didn't see this, but it's one of those stories that floats around the Berkeley Zen Center. A woman named Fran Tribe, one of his most senior students, was his Jisha. And at Berkeley, after the person who's going to give the lecture gets kind of settled, then their Jisha hands them a cup of water. Or no, actually just, they just put it down beside the speaker. And she spilled it. So she quietly walked the length of the zendo and out the door. Actually, she would have walked out the back door and all the way to the kitchen to get a towel or something and some more water. And she went and she walked back and she bowed and she wiped up the water and she put down the fresh cup of water and set the towel aside and went to take her seat. And Sojin said, that's the Taisho. Taisho is a Dharma talk. It's usually a short one. And it's a lot of these koans are probably come from Taishos, where the monks are standing and the teacher comes in and gives a short, very kind of punchy Dharma talk. So Sojin leaped, I guess. It's talked about a lot, I think, because Fran was so kind of self-contained and deliberate about it. You know, she didn't like, get all flustered. She just took care of it. And she saw, by the way, was Gary Archer. I don't know if you know. So the poem, isn't it? It says in the text, clearly translated it, the unique breeze of reality. Do you see? And this particular copy used to belong to Deanna Forbes, who's a friend of mine, and donated it to us. And she has a note. She circled the word breeze in pencil. And she wrote thread. And then in parentheses, 97 Reb. So Reb must have said he thought that thread was a better word. And that's an interesting thing because the rest of it talks about creation running her loom and shuttle and so on. So that's why I said the first time I read it, I said thread. The unique thread of reality, do you see? Continuously, creation runs her loom and shuttle, weaving the ancient brocade, incorporating the leaves of the forms of spring. But nothing can be done about Manjushri's leaking. The unique breeze or thread of reality, do you see? Do you clearly observe? Nothing can be done about Manjushri's leaking. Did he need to do that? Was that okay? Was that a failing on his part? And we're just saying, well, oh well, Manjushri screwed up. It's too late now, there's nothing to be done. I would say that Fran did not leak. Sojin did, but Fran didn't. Continuously, creation runs her loom and shuttle, weaving the ancient brocade, incorporating the forms of spring, the unique breeze of reality. Do you see? So, useful then to chew on Manjushri's leaking. Is it always a failing to leak? Or do we need to leak? Can we live in this world without leaking? Can we clearly observe if we're leaking? Do you ever leak? How do you relate to other people and your dogs and cats and whatever? How do you live as a human being without leaking? You want to be a human being? Suzuki Roshi used to say, life is like setting out to sea in a leaking boat, knowing it's going to sink. So he seemed to accept leaking. So, how does this strike you? The Dharma, the clearly observed, the Dharma of the Dharma King is thus. Clearly observe the Dharma of the Dharma King. The Dharma of the Dharma King is thus. I don't know that he stooped so far as to point. It doesn't say that he pointed. He just struck the gavel and said, maybe he didn't leak that much. Because this Buddha, 16 foot tall golden Buddha, comes in and ascends, gets up high on a carved wooden seat. You don't have to point. So would that would have been too much leaking. How do you work with leaking? Because you're going to leak. It's just another koan of life. What's the right amount of leaking? Is there such a thing? What do you think? Steve?
Before he even started to talk about it, I actually, something finally hit me about this is that to me it's that the scenario with Manjushri and Buddha is every time I do zazen. So there's a time when, like, I'm saying, okay, here I am, let's settle down. And then there's a time when I do settle down.
Yeah.
And then there's a time when I forget I'm settling down and I start thinking again. And I remind myself I'm settling down. So to me, or vice versa, just here, and then, oh, I'm just here. So that's the leaking. The commentary is the leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's zazen. And of course it happens all the time, but because I'm quieted down, I notice it. It's very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that the commentary is inevitable. And how do we work with it? I guess,
yeah.
Zazen, and zazen includes both.
Yeah, it has to. And I don't know how inevitable commentary is. The thinking is inevitable, but the commentary upon it is, that to me is extra. You know, that's extra leaking. Extra leaking.
Yeah, sometimes the thoughts go nowhere, and it doesn't feel so leaky.
Yeah. Anybody else? Lisa?
I mean, it seems like there could be useful leaking, and non-useful leaking. I mean, useful leaking is teaching, or, you know, like what you're doing right now, I guess, is leaking, but you're also teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, any kind of speech, I assume, is leaking.
Yeah, I think not just speech, but yes.
And then there's leaking that's just leaking. Which, yeah.
Yeah, extra leaking. I mean, you know, Mel's saying that's the Tay Show was certainly teaching. And I think it was useful because I'm debating between labeled and contextualized. Contextualized, that's hard to say. What Fran did. You know, in case you thought that wasn't something worthy of observing, Mel said, look at this. This was a teaching. So I don't know that was extra. I mean, you say that good leaking, bad leaking. I'd rather say just extra, but whatever, yes, I think so. But there could be leaking that's a gesture and so on, so it's not just words.
Isn't debating whether it's leaking or not leaking?
Of course.
I'm about to make a comment about surrendering and thinking clearly. To me, that made total sense. And when I think of surrendering, I think of like you have nothing to lose. So you're open to, I don't want to say everything, but, and you don't have your baggage and your preferences and stuff. And it made me think of Chris Christopherson line. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And so maybe surrendering, we think of it sometimes negatively, like you're giving in to something or something, but maybe it's a form of freedom.
Yes, I think it is. I mean, it's just a word, so you define it as you did. That's how I would use. I think so. Just letting go of all the junk that's holding you down. I don't know. I want to retract the word junk because it's pejorative, and we just have that. We have these burdens. We have this extra. We have this. We have these blind spots. We have, and we have, and we have. So, being middling, I muddle through, which isn't right. Probably not. Maybe more of an effort than that, but that'll do. Yeah, Sasha.
I think about in order to leak, you have to have a container. You know, there has to be some. In myself, some kind of self-protection or, you know, shielding or whatever, some holding of myself, and that's the leak, and that's human nature. And the only remedy for that is the surrender, is the bowing, is the letting go of self, which is the opposite. Is what I'm getting from this of leaking. Leaking is maybe not knowing that I'm, you know, an ego shelled off protection thing. And then I have to give an opinion about that. That's a leak. But a surrender is just, you know, the letting go of that and the humility. That's one thought.
Mm-hmm.
I have another thought.
Yes.
Completely. I don't understand what it says about shut the door and go to sleep, and that's the answer to all things, because that's what I do when I go through depressive cycles, and it doesn't feel like an answer necessarily.
Well, it says Closing the door and sleeping is the way to receive those of highest potential. I don't think it literally means closing the door and sleeping so much as you don't need to leap for them. You don't need to add any extra. You want to not interfere with them. So, this is partly Zen snottiness. Phrasing it that way. You know, and then looking, reflecting, and stretching is a roundabout way for the middling and lesser, foolish common people. That's us. So it's not literally about closing the door and sleeping, it's about don't leak all over these people. Let them develop. I mean, Liam once reminded me years, not that long ago, but a few years ago, you know, about not explaining a koan too much. Letting people chew on it and letting people come to some understanding of it. So you guys are, I don't think you're meddling, just in case you're worried. I don't think that, and I am concerned about not saying too much. There's a reference in the commentary, which Weidu apparently said, if there had been someone there who could understand the multiplicity of meanings according to situations, as in the Sanskrit word saindava, what would have been the need for Manjushri to strike a beat? If there had been somebody there that could understand the multiplicity of meanings, the many layers, well, Manjushri wouldn't have even needed to beat the gavel. Saindava is a word in Sanskrit that means salt, horse, and a bowl of water. Maybe just water, but usually a bowl of water. So if the king had an attendant who could understand the multiplicity of meanings according to situations, the king wouldn't need to explain. If the king asked for saindava and was eating breakfast, the attendant would bring salt. And if the king was dressed to go riding, then the attendant would bring the horse. And if the king just had been eating a lot of ribs, the king would, the attendant would bring a bowl of water. So somebody who is saindava doesn't need a lot of explanation. And Suzuki Roshi talks about, he doesn't use this phrase, but he talks about being taught to pay good attention. I think it's probably in Crooked Leaf Cucumber when his teacher was, he was with his teacher, and his teacher asked for a cup of tea, and he brought him, and the practice was to fill a tea cup only about half full, but his teacher liked it to be full. And so he brings his teacher half a cup of tea, and the teacher yells at him. So then the next day the teacher has a guest, and so the first thing he does is so there would be sliding shoji screen kind of doors, and so here's his teacher and here's the guest. But when his teacher was alone, he would open the farther door, you know, and come in and then approach the teacher. So he does that, and of course there's the guest right there. So his teacher yells at him, And so he actually closed the door and he opens the other one. And he had two full cups of tea because, and then his teacher yelled at him because he should do what's proper in the world when you have a guest. And you know that those Japanese teacups are get really hot. And so I guess that's why they usually don't fill them all the way full so that you could hold on to the top part of it without burning your fingers. And his teacher would rather have a whole cup of tea and take his chances. Anyway, I hope he became more assigned of a, he talks about it with some affection, I think, and also kind of feeling, find it kind of funny. And that is the Japanese way of teaching. You let you do it and then tell you where you screwed up. But he also learned in that way to pay better attention. And there's millions of stories about paying better attention. There's a famous koan. I don't remember between whom, but the teacher asks his jisha to restart the fire, find an ember, and get the fire going again. And of course the jisha pokes around in the embers and finally says, no, it's just completely out. And the teacher looks in with tongs, I guess, and picks up and goes, what's this? When you don't expect to find it, you won't find it. Or when you expect to not find it, you won't find it. Sometimes you don't know and you go looking and you won't see it. Because we just, I sort of say we see what we expect to see, that's true. But we also just see what we can see right that minute. It's a kitchen truism that you can go into the walk-in refrigerator looking for something as you're making dinner, and there's a shelf that says dinner prep and whatever the onions should be there. And they're not, and you look and you look and you look, cursing whoever put them in the wrong place, or whether maybe they didn't even get done. And you come out and you say to Ralph, I cannot find the onions for dinner. And Ralph says, let me look. And Ralph goes in, and if you're really unlucky, they're right there on the prep shelf. But sometimes they are on the lunch prep shelf or something, you know, where you would have also looked, but you just don't see it. And then, you know, the next week Ralph can't find X, and you go in and say, oh, here it is. And that's, you don't have to explain that to somebody who works who cooks in the kitchen. It's just magic. We study this, clearly observe. Saindeva. Okay.
So, I have a bad memory, and I know that a lot of it is that I don't pay attention. Like, somebody will tell me something, and I forgot what they told me, not because of my brain so much as that I didn't really pay attention to what they were telling me. So, is there something in practice where you can practice paying attention? I guess that's what our practice is.
Exactly. I hope so.
I'm not meddling.
you're definitely of the highest potential. But you just have a lot on your mind. Yeah, well, that's like me telling a while ago in some public place, I don't know, I remember, but Kelly asked me how to deepen his relationship with the precepts. And I said, well, come to the full moon ceremony every month. And he didn't, he just sort of looked at me, he didn't say anything. And later I thought, oh, he's the Doan every month. He is at the full moon ceremony every month. So, well, I didn't clearly observe him. But my back is to him, so what do I know? Steve?
To me, sweeping and closing the door and sweeping is also about doing things that don't particularly seem like you're awake. Like, by contrast, there's some meditation instructors who talk like this, relax, let everything flow. But in our practice, we tend to not do that so much. I mean, there's different by individual. But pointing out, you missed that ember. Is that practice? No, that's just somebody saying you missed something. Actually, it is practice. And I think that's why that's a hard practice, because, you know, I get ego protective about that kind of thing sometimes, depending on the situation. Sometimes I'm all, oh great, I didn't even see it. But other times I'm all, well, don't be snarky, you know. Well, how did I know? You know, so so yeah, that's closing the door and sleeping. It's the teacher not making it a teaching moment, and making it a teaching moment by not particularly, you know, making it, you should be careful with your practice. Just, you know, and we all teach each other that way. We just have to, I think, be, let that shell open just a little bit more each time.
Anybody else? One day the world honored one ascended the seat. Manjushri struck the gavel and said, clearly observe the Dharma of the King of Dharma. The Dharma of the King of Dharma is thus. The world honored one that got down from the seat. That's quite a famous koan. There's a lot more to talk about, but not today.
Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become.
Sometimes we have tea and sleep.
What time is it?